It's good to be here this morning. It's good to be with the family. This is my family. And I've got my, obviously, family. This is my church family. And me and Mel, my wonderful wife, celebrated 24 years of marriage on last Monday. And what I'm speaking on is thriving in the storms of life. But that's nothing to do with... It's just what she's had to put up with me. So she probably had to thrive through most of the storms. But yeah, it's so good to be here with you guys this morning. And I love just opening the Word of God and just seeing what it has to say to us. And this morning, it's been made quite easy because what Tilly's brought and what Jolie's brought is part of what I'm going to bring, you know. So I just really appreciate when God just speaks through our worship, when we are singing and God prompts somebody to bring the prophetic. God prompts somebody to bring a word and it's just bang in line with what? I was going to say we give God thanks. we're in this series, and my topic is thriving in the storms of life. And we saw Tony preach to us so well last week, and Paul's purpose of the letter in the Philippines was one, he was thankful to the Philippians for gifts he'd received. He wanted to report on his own circumstances, what he was going through. He wanted to encourage them to stand firm in persecution. He wanted to rejoice, tell them to, look, let's rejoice no matter what circumstances we go through, and know that his imprisonment, he wanted them to know that his imprisonment was to advance the gospel. That's a picture of what Philippines is about. And I'm just going to take you back a little bit. Tony did it last week a little bit as well in Acts 16, verses 16 to 31. The summary is that Paul and Silas are on the streets. They're evangelizing. They're speaking the word of God. And this woman's following them. And this is the reason why Paul and Silas get thrown into prison. And this woman's following them, and she's like, oh, these guys are speaking the word of God. They're speaking the truth. And she's got a spirit in her. But she's saying to them, look, these guys are speaking the word of God. These guys are speaking the truth. And the people that own her, because she's a fortune teller, they get mad because Paul and Silas basically rebuke her and the spirit leaves her. So their business is like void. And she becomes a Christian. She gets set free. So they go and complain to the authorities. Paul and Silas get thrown into prison. And I'll touch on that a little bit more. So we get a snapshot of why Paul is in prison. And now he's writing his letter to the Philippines from prison because he's under house arrest. So I'm going to get George to come up, and he's going to read. If you can turn to, well, it'll be on the screen as well, but turn to Philippians 1, verse 12 to 30. Yeah, you can grab one of them. This is George, everybody.
Hello. Paul's chains advance in the gospel. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain. I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Life worthy of the gospel. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have.
Thank you. That's test one of future son-in-law past. James is thinking, ooh, how many tests are there? There's 30. Kamal, you've got one to go. Kamal and Joni getting married in 2 weeks. And as I don't think it was mentioned today, you're all invited to the church. There'll be refreshments afterwards. So please come down. It's on a Tuesday. Tuesday the 24th. I was just testing. That was the test. Tuesday the 23rd. And it's 1 o'clock. Yeah, 1 o'clock. So, yeah, come down and it would bless them. Yeah, my main focus is going to be on chapter 12 to 14 and also 20 to 27. As I said, the title of my talk is Thriving in the Storms of Life. What does your storm look like in your life? Now, that could be, it could be a financial storm. It could be a sickness storm or loss of a loved one. You're going through a problem. A marriage or relationship breakup. That could be a storm that you're facing. Anxiety or depression. It could be an addiction storm. What does your storm look like in your life? Every storm that people go through in life, they're different. Paul's storm was being wrongly put in prison for the gospel and being persecuted constantly. Have you ever been wrongly accused of something that you've not done? Nobody believes you. You get to a point where you feel that you have to justify yourself so that people understand that you are not guilty. Paul's prison sentence didn't hinder him. It done totally the opposite. He was like, I know I am in prison to advance the gospel. So through the storm, we see that the gospel will advance. In verse 12, what happened that helped him advance the gospel? Let me just put on my glasses. You might go a bit blurry, but my pages come clear. Right. Do I look sophisticated? Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Paul was placed in chains, and he realized that the storm that he was in was to advance the gospel, as I said. So let me just take you back to, again, in Acts 16. They were in prison, Paul and Silas, and there was part of when they were in prison, they started worshipping, they started praising, and the chains that were on them, they fell off, and the prison doors flung open. At that point, if that was me, I would have escaped. I wouldn't have even had to have got to through the first chorus, and I would have been off, out of prison. I mean, he could have quite easily escaped, but him, Paul and Silas, they stayed. They stayed in prison because they knew what their assignment was. Paul seemed to be content. In verse 13 and 14, it says, "As a result, it has come clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." He's in chains for Christ, not because of what he has done. They may think, oh yeah, we've thrown him in prison. He's been persecuted. He's in chains for Christ Jesus. He's been put in prison for a reason. And it's to advance the gospel, to preach the gospel. And he's preaching to some of the most influential people. His two years in prison, he's preaching to Roman governors, high-ranking military officials. He's preaching to high people. In Acts 25, verse 23, it says, "The Roman governors gathered all the high-ranking military officers and men of the city so Paul could share the message of Jesus with them." He's preaching to your Keir Starmers. He's preaching to your Richie Sunaks. He's preaching to these guys, and they've gathered and they're listening to him preach the word of God. Others also are encouraged to speak out. It says this, "And because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters," it says in verse 16, "and because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." Even though he's in chains, even though his storm is being in prison, the storm that he faces being in prison, other people are now preaching the gospel without fear because of his example that he's setting. Paul is in chains for Christ. That's become clear. But not because he's guilty of some crime, but on account for his stand for the gospel. So my question to you guys, to all of us in here, is what are you willing to stand for the gospel? What are you willing to stand for the gospel? When I first came down here, when I first moved from Oxford to Sussex, I got a job with this place called Camellia Butner Foundation. And I was a mentor. What Camellia Butner Foundation does, it brings kids from tough backgrounds and they teach them a trade. So they teach them either bricklaying, carpentry, metalwork, cooking, chefing, painting and decorating, all of that sort of thing. But my mate, who was part of this setup, he said, "Come down and get a job." So I came down, but they soon found out after the interview that I had, they said, "Look, this isn't for you. You don't qualify for this. But what we can do, we can use you as a mentor to the guys. We'll use you as a mentor." So I started being a mentor, and basically you live there, you live on site in this foundation. So you've got room and you dorm with some of the guys. And every weekend, a lot of them would go home, and this foundation would put on programs for the ones that had been left or didn't go home for the weekend. Quite a few of them were left over the weekend. But I would go to church. And they would see that, some of the guys would see that. And one of the guys came up to me one day, and we come up to the room, and he says, "What, like, in the evenings, you, like, before you go to bed, you grab that book, and you start reading, and you start, what do you do?" I said, "Well, this is the Bible." I start reading, and I start praying. And I just pray for all of us guys in here, and I pray for God's protection. He goes, "Oh, so you believe in God?" And I said, "Yeah, I believe in God." He goes, "Where do you go when you're here on a weekend? You don't do any of the activities with us." I said, "Well, go to church." And that's how I left it. The following weekend came, and I'm going outside, and he's standing there waiting. He said, "I'm coming with you to church." And I said, "Okay." So he came to church that Sunday. Over the next 3 to 4 weeks, 4 or 5 of them, because he'd been telling them, "It's brilliant down this church, you know." So they, 4 or 5 of them, start coming to church. The foundation weren't happy. They weren't happy that they were putting on activities, and their activities, because you had to put your names down on the Thursday if you were around and what activities you want to do. Well, their activities weren't getting filled up. So then they came to me and said, "Look, obviously, we can't stop you going to church, but can you encourage the guys to take part in our activities?" So I said to them, "No, I won't. I'm going to church. If they want to come to church, I'm not going to stop them going." So it came to a head on one Sunday that none of the activities got filled, and 12 of the guys came to they came down to church. And when activities were, the guys started to say, "Look, because we had to walk probably about a mile and a half to get to church." So some of the guys started saying, "Instead of putting on the activities, can't we just use the minibus and you drive us to church?" And they were like, we're not doing that. So we just kept going to church. And one of the heads, she came to me and she said, "Look, obviously, we're going to ask you one more time." She said, "We need you to stop or not encourage the guys to come to church with you. We don't mind you going, but we want to encourage you not to take the guys with you, because obviously we put stuff on the weekends." And I said to her, I said, "Not only am I not going to encourage them, I think you should come as well, because you need Jesus." That didn't end well. I was removed. Well, that's a polite way of saying sacked. And on the day that I was leaving, one of the guys who was not a Christian and he came to church a couple of times but didn't really go much with us. He came to me and he said, "You do know," and this is from a non-Christian guy, he said, "You do know that you are getting removed from this position for what you stand for. You do know that because you go to church and because you love Jesus, and because they don't see that, and because they think it's some sort of, it's against what they want, you are getting removed." And I said, "Yeah, I know that, but God in Christ, that's who I trust, and that's who I believe. So I will stand for the gospel. No matter what, the gospel will advance with or without me or you. But God wants to use each and every one of us." Paul rejoices in his suffering. There's times that I am suffering, to be honest. There's times that I am going through time. I am not in no mood to rejoice. But Paul rejoices in that his suffering has mobilized an army of missionary preachers that will go out and mobilize and preach the gospel no matter what it takes, no matter being in chains. He's like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. I truly want my life to reflect the gospel and be an example to people, whether I'm going through difficult times. Please, as Christians, let's not shut ourselves away when we're going through storms and trials. I want my life to reflect Christ, not just in the good times, but in the difficult times. This is not easy, but one thing we know about storms is that they always pass. A storm will always pass. And it's how you handle going through and in the middle of the storms / trials. It often determines the outcomes of what your life will look like. Storms will pass. It's what you do when you're going through the storms. So through the storm, I want to say to you, through the storm, take courage. Jesus wins. So do we. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. We need as Christians not to fear. It's a win-win in Christ Jesus. In verse 19, Paul rejoices that his own sufferings have deepened his own walk with God. I'm just going to read verse 20 and 21. It says this. I'll go from verse 19 actually. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. What does Paul even mean when he says that phrase? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, he uses the word gain in a way that illuminates the meaning here. So, and it says this, but whatever were gains to me now, this is Philippians 3, verse 7 to 8, whatever were gains to me now, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ Jesus. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. I consider them garbage. In this passage, he's looking back at the day when Christ became everything to him. Christ became everything to him. On that road to Damascus, where he's blinded, and he meets Jesus. That's the day that Christ became everything. And he was like, I don't care, I've lost. I don't care what I lose, because Christ is the center now. Christ is the center. He's looked at all things that might have been valuable to him and found Christ more valuable. And he gladly surrendered all to him and for him. All the material things that we place as a high value in life are nothing compared to knowing Christ Jesus. I found that out personally. We could paraphrase it by saying this: life means Christ to me as I more fully know, love, and serve him day by day. Death means Christ to me when I shall finally possess and eternally enjoy him. He knows what life is, but he also knows what death is. Death is not the end. In Jesus we win. To live it's ultimately, to live is ultimately being in Christ. Without him, we cannot live. If you do not know Jesus, choose him today. Choose life, which means Christ. And even in death, you will rejoice with him in glory. It's win-win. It's win-win. Whether we live or whether we die, it is win-win. Through the storms of life, live life worthy of the gospel. Let's live life worthy of the gospel. It says that in verse 27. It says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul rejoices that his sufferings, again, have deepened his own walk with God. We must not focus on advancing. We must not just focus on advancing the kingdom of God's world, that we neglect to advance the kingdom of God in our own hearts. That is so important. It begins in our own heart. Some of the biggest and some of my biggest moments of personal growth has not been in the quiet of a spiritual retreat, but in the turmoil of spiritual attack. That's been my biggest moments of personal growth. I can honestly say that. Me and Mel can honestly say that. When people and the enemy attempt to use situations to destroy you, God can use them to develop you. He delights in turning crucifixions into resurrections. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So in your storm, we don't run away. We press into Jesus. We press into him. God comes by invitation. And as long as you keep talking to him and trusting him, he will work things out for you. I've been through many storms in life. And in retreating, I've never felt good about retreating or backing away. But it's when I'm head on and trusting in God that you're going to take me through, that's when I overcome. January 2020, faced a personal storm that we went through as a family. It's Christmas 2020, found a lump in the neck. Didn't think anything of it. And it turned out to be lymphoma cancer. January 2020, it rocked the family. It took us from a place of just being, just going through life, loving Jesus, and just moving on to the next thing, to a place of what's happening. But I knew that God was in control. I knew that, you know what? What do I do? What do I do? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do what I always do. Press into him. I remember having a conversation with Mel on the Thursday that we found out, and I said, on Sunday I'm going to tell the church, because they're my friend. And Mel, she weren't too pleased about that. She weren't pleased about me telling her, but she just thought it was too soon. And I'm like, nope. I said, we're calling this church body my family, then I want them to be on the journey praying. I want them to be on the journey seeking God, because I know God's in this. I know God's in this. We didn't retreat. We pressed in. You know, my worship, I was saying, God, I don't know what this is going to bring, but I know that you are in this. And I know if you choose to heal me, it's all good. If you choose not to heal me, it's all good. In good, in bad, in indifferent times, guess what? He's faithful. He's faithful. When you walk through brilliant times in life, let's not forget to give God thanks. When you walk through indifferent times, let's give God praise. When you go through difficult times, get on your knees and seek God and lift him up, because he is worthy and he is good and he is faithful. I'm a living testimony to God's faithfulness, of him coming in and going, yeah, I'm not ready for you yet. You know? And him just taking the cancer, just shrinking it, shrinking it, shrinking it. Till now I'm cancer free. That's not because of me. That's because of him. But we as a church, and we as a family, guess what we did? We pressed in. Through the storm, we pressed in. We allowed God to do his work. Through your storm, whatever storm you're facing, I don't know half of the storms that you are going through. But what I will say, press into Jesus. Do not retreat. You press in through your storms. You press in through your difficult times. You press in through the moments where it thinks, I don't know what's happening. I don't know if I can take it no more. In Christ Jesus, we win. The battle's already been won. Press into Jesus. It's the personal time that you spend with Jesus that will help you get through the storms of life. It's in coming before the throne of grace and seeking him in prayer, worship, and praise. That's where we win. This is where we win. Getting into the word of God. On our knees. This is where we do battle. Because spiritual warfare, one, is real. And two, the only way we overcome is in the word of God and in prayer. In prayer. Paul understood this. Hence why the prison doors flung open when he's praising and when he's worshipping. Prison doors flung open. But he knew that he weren't just about to walk out. He had work to do to advance the gospel. I'll leave you with this. Thriving in the storms of life, one, the gospel will advance. Two, take courage. Jesus wins. So do we. As to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And three, live life worthy of the gospel. And we do that by saying, God, no matter what, we choose you. We choose to follow you. We choose to worship you. And we choose to seek you. No matter what we go through in life. We are going to have communion. So I just want you to stand a minute. I want to pray. I know, even from the words that Tilly brought and Jody brought, there's storms that people are going through in this place. I'm going to have the band to come up as well. There's storms that people are going through. There's situations that you can see God in, but you're all almost like, God, I see you in this, but I'm a bit afraid. It's okay to be afraid. So long as you trust God in what you're going through. And so I want to pray for people who are going through storms, various different storms. I want to pray for a closer relationship with Jesus, that we as a church would constantly draw closer to God as he draws closer to us. That when the storms come thick and fast, that we wouldn't run away, that we wouldn't hide, but that we would move forward and we would advance. That we would trust God in every situation that we are walking through. Every situation that you are walking through, that you are dealing with, that we would, you would trust God and trust him and him alone. So Father God, I pray right now for the storms that we face in our lives. Father God, I thank you that we are overcomers by the word and by your blood. You've set us free. So whether it's marriage, whether it's a sickness, illness, whether it's an addiction, Lord Jesus, whether it's financial, we give them all to you right now, Lord Jesus. And we say, come. Just like you calmed the storm when you were on the sea, Galilee with the disciples, and the storm was brewing, and you were sleeping, Lord Jesus, and they were afraid in the midst of this storm. They were afraid. And you woke up and you said, be still. And there was stillness. So Lord, we ask you right now, would you still the storms that people may be facing? Would you come and rescue from situations that seem difficult? Would you come and pour out your spirit right now, Lord Jesus, as we thank you and we live for you? Thank you for your word that sets us free. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for life. Father God, I thank you now, Lord Jesus, when we choose life, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because we can look to glory. But we know that while we're here on earth, we are to do your work. So we say, pour out your spirit amongst your people. Still the storms. Help us in our storms that we face to keep on advancing the gospel. To keep on being joyful. To keep on rejoicing. As hard as it may be. To continue to live for you. In your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Amen.